the crack of the bat and the roar of the crowd, some of the sounds of summer silent for nearly 2 years. Tonight, that changes. The Blue Jays are back in Toronto after one very long road trip.
At the Rogers Centre, there's a buzz over baseball. 15,000 fans have waited 670 days for this moment. Their team is finally home. Good evening. The stadium roof is open, just one part of a larger sense of reopening right across Ontario.
Not only marking the return of Toronto's boys of summer, but another moment on the path toward normalcy. CTV's Sean Leithong is live with more. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Pauline and Nathan. It's that number you said, 670 days. It's been hanging over baseball fans in the city, but the dome is open, the doors are open, and finally, it's time for baseball.
It's a sound the city has been missing. Baseball in Toronto is back, with the Blue Jays taking the field tonight for their first home game at the Rogers Centre since 2019. And no one is more excited than the players.
I feel great. It's amazing to be back. So excited to play.
It's awesome. It's exciting. I mean, this is home, and we're all glad to be back.
Having the home fans cheer for us, we have an exciting team, so I'm more excited for them to see what we've been doing.
The team arriving late last night from Boston after a victory over the first-place Red Sox.
Oh, so nice. Let's go.
Many players were eager to enter their home ballpark, as some, like Hyunjun Ryu, have never played here as a member of the Blue Jays.
This is the next chapter for us and what we hope is a championship, you know, story, and we're excited to continue that and to reunite with our fans.
And on the same day the team is reunited with its fan base, the Blue Jays are making a splash in the trade market, acquiring highly coveted starting pitcher Jose Barrios from the Minnesota Twins. Scott Mitchell from TSN says this trade is huge, not only for the new talent, but...
It's the fact that this team believes that they can win, not just this year, next year.
Mitchell says this team is much different than the one that left the Rogers Center in September of 2019.
This is a legitimate contender, and in 2019, that was a totally different story. And the rebuild has been swift, and Blue Jays fans have missed the early portion of it, but they're going to get the exciting portion of it.
The field is ready, the players are eager to go on a run, and the city is here to welcome them home.
Now, even though the Blue Jays beat the first-place Red Sox last night, they do sit fourth in the AL East, so they do have their work cut out for them. But nevertheless, the fans are excited. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, Sean. The gates are open, and 15,000 fans are making their way inside, a chance to celebrate the team's homecoming and savor this slice of summer. CTV's Austin Delaney's live outside the ballpark. Austin.
Well, about 45 minutes ago, a loud cheer, and that's because the gates opened up. The people lucky enough to get tickets went inside for the first time in a very long time.
Kathy Anderson holding Cardboard Kathy, who went to Buffalo last season. A healthcare worker finally having a bit of joy going to the home opener.
I will be crying. I will be crying.
Go Jays, go!
The 15,000 tickets available today going to frontline workers and season ticket holders. It has been a long haul for some.
The last year and a half have been the hardest. I've worked there for 32 years, and it's the hardest I've ever gone through. I worked through SARS, but there's just so much sadness and stress and everything, and today is so exciting. I've been counting the days to get back here.
Fans tell us there's a buzz in the city.
Oh, no, it's great. You can just kind of feel it in the air. It's good to have them back.
Not just Torontonians happy to see the boys of summer back, but the entire country.
I came from Edmonton for this, all the way across the country for this particular purpose, to see the Blue Jays. The first time I ever came here was for the playoffs back in 2016. I'm here now. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like an 11 Blue Jays fan.
Outside, we find Harold McIntyre, who has brought with him his ticket stub to the very first opening Jays game.
I've come to every opening game. This is the first one I'll miss.
Until now, most fans have been sitting on the couch cheering on their Jays.
We watch every game. For the last year and a half, we've been watching every game religiously. We're huge Jays fans. We've been huge Jays fans for years. So we had to be here for their home opener.
And it wouldn't be a Jays home game without this. It's kind of a tradition, isn't it?
Absolutely. 100%.
Good?
Yeah, it's 18 months to do this.
And then we run into Claudine and David, huge Jays fans who met during the pandemic. And they have some news they want to share.
We're getting married, overlooking Rogers Outfield on Sunday morning. We're doing a brunch wedding for our closest friends and family. And then at 1 o'clock, we've got tickets to come down for the game. So I'm coming down in my dress. He's coming down in most of his wedding attire.
How good is that? Now, the couple met during the pandemic. They've been seeing a lot of each other, but because there's a pandemic, they haven't gone on any actual dates, really. This is just their third date out. Going to see the Jays. They're getting married here on Sunday. We're putting live. I'm Austin Delaney.
Thanks, Austin. And just ahead, reimagining another familiar gathering spot, the province's plans for Ontario Place, when the ambitious redevelopment could take shape.
But first, to the explosions and evacuations in Barrie this afternoon. This is what remains at a propane facility in the south end of town.
A number of tanks catching fire, sending flames high into the air and nerves into overdrive. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us live in the studio with more. Raheem?
Well, Pauline and Nathan, fire officials are crediting the staff members of the fire depot for quickly hitting the emergency shutoff, which prevented those two massive propane tanks, which you just saw, from exploding. But the smaller explosion still caused quite a scare.
You can hear the loud bangs, the sound of propane tanks exploding, spewing massive flames into the sky.
We were pulling into the Walmart parking lot. We had just exited the vehicle when we heard a loud explosion. And we looked over our shoulder and a big mushroom cloud and then a big ball of fire.
Firefighters responded to a structure fire at a propane depot, where a number of small propane tanks exploded, nearly causing two 30,000-pound propane tanks to catch fire. With heavy black smoke rising into the air, emergency crews quickly went door to door, evacuating businesses and those living within a kilometer and a half in all directions.
Smoke started, and again, it's not uncommon to see a little bit, but it immediately accumulated very quickly. So then I immediately called a few other people to say, hey, something's going on. And then you could see above the buildings, you could see, you know, fire, flames.
Officials say there were no injuries, and after a little over an hour, crews had the fire under control, working now to extinguish small spot fires.
That propane inside that tank is heated enough. It's what's called a blevy, so a boiling liquid expanded vapor explosion. And when they explode, they do go off like missiles, but that takes a great deal of heat, and luckily enough, we got the water on the tanks quick enough,
preventing an even bigger explosion.
Now, officials say they're still trying to determine what caused the smaller tanks to explode, but they believe there may have been a mishap during the filling process. For now, crews continue to gauge the temperature of the bigger tanks to make sure they don't get too hot. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Raheem. And our online team is tracking the latest with this developing story. You can also find more pictures and video at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Firefighters had to deal with some windy conditions as well today, but we have had most of a sunny day. Nalini Sharma is here with a look at the current conditions as we head into the long weekend.
Pauline, we've had a quiet day overall in terms of at least the weather, but it was actually very windy, and the winds were out of the northwest, gusting upwards of about 40 kilometers an hour. So in the sun, it was actually quite pleasant, but just that sort of cooler wind gave, you know, a chill in the air, and the temperature was struggling just into the low 20s with very low humidity. So an unusual weather pattern taking us into this long weekend. Not a whole lot happening in terms of active weather for right now. The winds right now sustain just over about 20 to 30 kilometers an hour. These are the temperatures. We're into the teens for the most part, bright and a little bit warmer, sitting at 20 degrees. For the lower Great Lakes, we're anywhere from about 21 to 18 or so on average. And here's a look at our city. Currently, right now, we're holding steady at the Islands Airport, 20. The wind's just over about 40 kilometers. Pearson Airport sitting at 19. There is no humidex. Tonight's overnight low at 11 degrees, so it will be cool to start your Saturday. We'll have a full look at the timing of the wet weather we're expecting. That's coming up in the next few minutes.
All right. Thanks very much, Nalini. It has been an encouraging summer so far in the battle against COVID-19. But today we learned that Canada may be on the verge of a fourth wave fueled by the Delta variant.
This growth is not unexpected, but it will be important to respond to new cases and clusters through testing, case finding, and targeted vaccination efforts to slow the spread.
Dr. Teresa Tam says the trajectory of the pandemic will depend on vaccination progress and the pace of reopening. New national modeling warns of a resurgence in infections. Thousands more are predicted if contacts aren't contained. And the new cases are expected to be concentrated among younger, unvaccinated people. Right now, Canada is seeing a slight increase in new infections.
Here in Ontario, the province is seeing another rise in the daily case count.
A second day above the 200 mark. 226 cases have been confirmed over the last day, bringing the total to more than 550,000 since the start of the pandemic. 148 more cases are considered resolved, as that count stands above 539,000. 11 more deaths are linked to the virus, putting that number of lives lost at 9,339. Meanwhile, we're getting our clearest picture so far of what restrictions will look like once Ontario leaves the reopening roadmap.
And masks will remain a part of the landscape. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live with more. Beth.
That's right, Nathan. It doesn't appear we're going to be ditching the masks anytime soon. Tonight on the street, people seem pretty happy with the reopening so far and what they have planned to do this long weekend, even as cases have been creeping up. As Ontarians feel the stride of summer, the provincial government is providing the first picture of what life could be like post-Step 3. That's when on July 16th, indoor dining and fitness rules expanded, cinemas and social gatherings up to 100 people were allowed.
I think this is perfect as it is. I think I feel really safe. I feel really excited about the opportunities to go out and socialize, and I feel like it's just the right amount.
But get ready for more freedoms, says a spokesperson for the health minister, telling CTV News when Ontario leaves Step 3, the vast majority of public health measures, including capacity limits, will lift, and that only a small number of measures will remain in place, like some screening measures, posted signs, and safety plans for businesses.
It gets a little claustrophobic when two are working from home and that. So, yeah, we're looking forward. Hopefully we keep wave four at bay.
The government says the highly contagious Delta variant is the dominant strain in the province, and for that reason, moving forward, face coverings will continue to be required in public settings, an approach also being done in Quebec and Israel as people slowly reemerge and get back to normal.
Having a barbecue with our neighbors this weekend, it's been great. We're not quite brave enough to go to a Jays game or anything big like that.
In a post-Step 3 world, restaurants will also still collect names and need to keep customers distanced or separated by plexiglass. To exit Step 3, the government says 80% of people 12 and up must have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, with 75% fully vaccinated. Currently, about 80.2% of Ontarians have had one dose, with 68.4% fully vaccinated.
It's just nice to be able to go out with friends and see family, especially we have a 2-month-old now, so we're able to kind of enjoy patios and inside, so it just gives us more options.
People hoping Ontario's reopening is here to stay. On top of vaccination targets, the government has said we need to stay in Step 3 for 21 days, so we still have another week to go there. Today, Premier Ford said we could leave Step 3 in a couple of weeks, perhaps mid-August. Reporting live from Bloor Street West, I'm Beth McDonnell. Nathan, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Beth. With COVID cases on the rise, 62 were added in Toronto over the last day, with 24 in Peel Region. York, Halton, and Hamilton each reported 13 infections. Health officials in Durham Region confirmed 9 new cases, while 2 tests came back positive in Niagara.
Those figures come from nearly 21,000 COVID tests processed over the last day. Taking the new cases into account, the positivity rate works out to 1.1%, and just under 7,000 tests are still under investigation.
Toronto's reached another key milestone as it changes gears in its vaccine rollout. 70% of all eligible residents, that's everyone ages 12 and up, have now received both required shots. Officials say that achievement is welcome news, but there's still a lot of work ahead to get more people vaccinated. Pop-up clinics will be running this weekend in the Taylor Massey neighborhood, which has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the city.
Across the province, 19.3 million COVID vaccines have been administered since the start of the rollout. That includes nearly 84,000 that went into arms on Thursday. 10.4 million Ontarians have received at least one dose, and that number went up by over 16,000 yesterday. 8.9 million people are now fully vaccinated after more than 67,000 got a second shot yesterday.
It's the province's plan to push Ontario Place into the future.
Looking to transform the space into a waterfront destination to be enjoyed year-round. CTV's Janice Golding is live with more. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Pauline. Well, it's been sitting largely idle for the last 9 years, but plans have finally been unveiled for a new and improved Ontario Place, one which the province says could see up to 7 million people a year.
It's been a key feature of Toronto's lakeshore since 1971.
I can remember when my son was just little and we used to come and we'd do the paddle boats.
But Ontario Place was decommissioned in 2012 due to declining attendance and annual losses in the tens of millions. Over the years, there have been many proposals for redevelopment, including a waterfront casino, which were all scrapped in 2019 when the province elected to launch a call for development process. Now, 50 years from the date it opened, concrete plans for a new and improved Ontario Place have finally been released.
It is ready to rise again. This site remains a valuable but underutilized resource, one that should be a magnet for tourism and investment.
The Ford government has chosen three private sector partners to transform the 155-acre waterfront attraction into a year-round venue. And while preserving its most iconic features, like the Cinesphere, the Pod Complex, and the William G. Davis Trail, it will include three new major attractions.
A redeveloped Ontario Place will not include casinos, it won't include condos, and the land will not be sold. Full stop. This will be a public place for everyone to come and experience.
Therma Group will build a $350 million family-friendly all-season venue with a water park and a massive indoor spa. It will also include 8 acres of free gathering spaces, gardens, and beaches. Echo Recreo Group, meanwhile, will build an all-season adventure park for all ages with about a dozen aerial obstacle courses, zip lines, climbing walls, and escape rooms. And Live Nation, which already operates the existing amphitheater, will redevelop the venue into a year-round indoor-outdoor live music and performance venue that will accommodate 20,000 people in the summer and close to 9,000 in the winter.
And it would be wonderful to see it used to its fullest extent.
It's a great thing for everybody.
Public consultations will begin next month with virtual information sessions to be held in the fall. Still, grassroots community group Ontario Place for All says that will not equal meaningful consultation.
The three private sector partners have been identified. They have plans, physical plans for what they're doing. I'm not sure what's left to ask the public about.
Therma Group says not so. While major design elements are in place, this will all be subject to public input.
We've already been working with partners. We've already been engaging with particular communities, and that will continue. So we've already been influenced by that. But there is still scope to influence this building and to make changes to it.
Ontario Place for All is also criticizing the government's decision to conduct negotiations for the publicly owned facility behind closed doors, adding while pricing has not yet been determined, it expects pay-for-play attractions to be so costly it would put Ontario Place out of the reach of the average family.
The province says it doesn't expect shovels to enter the ground until 2024, and the entire complex won't open until sometime in 2030. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Nathan.
All right, thank you, Janice. Rowing their way to the top of the podium in Tokyo. More success for Canadian women at the Olympics, and the athletes to watch heading into the weekend.
Authorities called him Spider-Man because of some death-defying acrobatics trying to escape police when he was wanted for murder a decade ago.
As CTV's John Woodward reports, now Sean Vassell is on trial for another murder, taking the stand this week to say he's not a killer.
To hear Sean Vassell tell it, this was just one more time he dodged death. The 37-year-old is no stranger to close calls. While fleeing police for one murder in 2008, he climbed down 14 floors on this apartment tower at Jane and Finch, earning him the nickname Spider-Man. 2 years ago, he had his closest brush yet. He was paralyzed from the waist down after being shot in the back in a gun battle at Queen and Ossington that left three other people dead and a neighborhood terrified.
You know, there's a lot of residents that were looking over, looking at this entire thing unfold, and it's obviously very scary.
Vassal is now on trial for a murder that happened a couple months before that during a robbery of a grow-op gone wrong.
One victim emerged the morning after, bleeding from the head. He called 911.
I got a break-in,
yeah.
And then I got smashed in the head,
okay.
Knocked out, and then boom, I wake up, and boom, they tried to shoot me. I got out of the way, and then boom, they shot somebody else.
That's someone else, Justin Kyle Izzard, found dead among the marijuana leaves inside the commercial building on Millwick and Millvan Drives. Police arrested Vassal, who testified this week he was there, but just acting as a lookout. He says he was attacked by a minivan just after the robbery and shot at it in self-defense, saying, I saw him speeding pedal to the metal, trying to hit me with his car. I was pointing the gun at him. He didn't care, so I fired it. But the Crown said Vassal knew what he was doing when he brought a gun to the robbery, saying he's not worried, he's not concerned, he has protection, which is his gun. No one knows who was driving that minivan. Justice Todd Ducharme will rule on whether Vassal will beat the charges or whether this is a web Spider-Man can't escape. John Woodward, CTV News.
Halton police have charged five suspects after a break-in early this morning at a local mall. Investigators say the group smashed the windows of the Gucci store in the Toronto Premium Outlets in Halton Hills and set off an alarm. Police responded and arrested all five on charges of breaking and entering. The suspects are not being named under the rules of the Youth Criminal Justice Act.
It was another golden day for Canada at the Tokyo Olympics.
We're now 11th in the medal standings after a talented group of Canadian women made a big splash. Canada added more gold to its haul at the Tokyo Games. Our women's rowing 8 crew finished the 2-kilometer course in 5 minutes and 59 seconds to earn the top spot on the podium. It's the first time Canada has won gold in the event since 1992.
I feel amazing. I feel like my teammates and I have worked for a really long time towards a very clear goal, and we achieved it. And right now we just get to celebrate it and be really proud of ourselves and really embrace this once-in-a-lifetime moment.
I was in shock. I was just like looking at everyone around me and looking at my teammates, and I was so process-oriented throughout this, one race at a time, one stroke at a time, and I never let myself kind of get ahead of where we were at. And so when we crossed the finish line and it really happened, our dream came true. It just felt like fairy tale ending almost to this crazy past, especially 2 years, I guess, with COVID and making the team and the Olympics getting canceled.
Meanwhile, Canada's women's soccer team guaranteed themselves a shot at a medal. They booked a spot in Monday's semis against the U.S. after beating Brazil 4-3 on penalties. A semifinal win would see Canada advance to the gold medal match, while a loss means the team would play for bronze. Two-time trampoline gold medalist Rosie McLennan narrowly missed the podium. The 32-year-old Torontonian finished fourth in the final, less than 3/10 of a point out of third place. Just after the competition got underway, McLennan revealed she had suffered a severe ankle sprain and tore two tendons during training 2 months ago. Toronto's Penny Oleksiak also came close, but will have another chance this weekend to become Canada's most decorated Olympian. The 21-year-old missed out last night when she came in fourth in the women's 100-meter freestyle, despite setting a Canadian record. She'll be back in the pool Sunday for the medley relay. Track and field events are now underway, and Canada's team is looking to improve on the 6 medals won in Rio. Former high jump gold medalist Derek Druin says the 57-member group is loaded with talent.
We're so, so deep, and with every session, there's someone itching to make the final. There's someone that's knocking on the door of the podium, so I think it's going to be a really exciting week.
And Canadians to watch this weekend include Crystal Emmanuel in the women's 100-meter and Jane Goh-Lovett in the high jump final.
Meanwhile, there was some controversy at the Games when an American athlete refused to wear a mask.
It happened as Japan expanded a coronavirus state of emergency to 4 more areas outside the host city. CTV's Joy Malbin reports from Tokyo.
Just as Japan extended its state of emergency to other cities because of a record spike in COVID infections, there was a bit of drama poolside. U.S. swimmer Michael Andrew, the highest profile unvaccinated Olympian here, refused to wear a mask while being interviewed. It's a violation of Olympic rules. This former Olympian, now an advisor to the Games, was shocked.
If he refused to get vaccines, that's fine, it's his choice, but at least he should wear masks. Because this Olympics has been so controversial and the country is divided.
Olympic organizers have bent the rules for photo ops, allowing medal winners to go maskless for about 30 seconds. And now organizers are flip-flopping again, saying athletes can remove their masks for interviews. Being vaccinated is not mandatory at these games. And Andrew, who is yet to medal at these Olympics, says being able to breathe is more important than what's coming out of his mouth, adding that he contracted COVID months ago and has no intention of getting the vaccine. But Canadian athletes have embraced these stricter measures.
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because when it's your first Olympics, you have nothing to compare it to. So for us, it was still an amazing experience. You know, you have to wear your masks all the time, temperature checks, registering, like your health condition all the time, spit tests every morning. It's a lot. But it's a part of the memory, and I don't regret anything about it.
A winning attitude amid a crushing pandemic that has put more than a third of this country under a state of emergency. Joy Malvin, CTV News, Tokyo.
Like in Japan and many other countries, American health officials are sounding the alarm about the Delta variant. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is calling on officials to, quote, acknowledge the war has changed. It says the Delta variant is far more contagious than the common cold and the flu and as infectious as chickenpox. The CDC also warns that it can even be passed on by vaccinated people and may cause more serious disease than other strains.
Meanwhile, the World Health Organization is warning that hard-fought gains could be lost as the Delta variant spreads.
Health systems in many countries are being overwhelmed. The increased number of infections is creating a shortage of treatment, such as life-saving oxygen.
The Delta variant's been detected in 132 nations, becoming the dominant global strain. COVID-19 infections have increased by 80% over the past 4 weeks in most regions of the world.
Alberta is receiving more pushback following its decision to lift nearly all remaining COVID-19 restrictions. Federal health officials say the move could have ripple effects across the country. They're concerned that increased infections in the province could spread throughout Canada as people travel. The Canadian Pediatric Society has also written an open letter to Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health. It urges the province to reconsider lifting isolation and testing requirements, calling it an unnecessary and risky gamble.
Two travelers who arrived in Toronto from the U.S. have been fined nearly $20,000 each. They were caught trying to pass off fake vaccination documents last week. The pair also lied about their pre-departure COVID-19 tests, and they failed to get tested upon arrival or stay at a government-authorized hotel as required.
The federal government is extending its main pandemic aid programs by an extra month. It says many small businesses and workers are not fully back on their feet yet.
From the government's perspective, it is essential to do everything we can to be sure the country's economic recovery is fast and robust and that no one is left behind.
Wage and rent subsidies for businesses will last until at least October 23rd. So will income support for workers out of a job, as well as those who need to stay home sick or take time off to care for family.
The fire situation in British Columbia could worsen this weekend. Lightning is possible in parts already at a high risk or extreme risk of blazes. And this week's continued heat is expected to contribute to severe burning conditions in the southern half of the province. There are more than 240 active blazes, down from about 300 last week. Heat warnings have also been issued for parts of Alberta and the Northwest Territories.
The remains of an ancient Roman ship have been discovered in the waters off Italy. The vessel was carrying a load of amphora, jars used for storing and transporting food. It was found 92 meters under the Mediterranean Sea off the island of Sicily. Experts believe the cargo dates back to the year 2 BC. They hope the discovery will shed more light on ancient maritime routes and the booming wine trade in that period.
Still to come, honoring an important abolitionist figure in Toronto's history. the new sculpture commemorating the life and legacy of Joshua Glover.
Well, we certainly have a cool evening ahead if you are heading down to the game. And just when you're getting ready to leave, the temperature will sit probably at about 15, 16 degrees. It's 18 through the evening hours. The sun set at 8:44. The winds will stay quite breezy out of the northwest at about 30 kilometers an hour. And here's a look right now at current temperatures through the GTA. We're anywhere from about 18 to 20 degrees with no humidity. Tomorrow we do have shower activity. Saturday will not be a complete washout. We do have a dry start to the day, and there is sunshine. Thankfully, we'll have an extended look at your forecast in the next few minutes.
August is Emancipation Month in Toronto, acknowledging the legacy of slavery in Canada and the struggle for human rights for people of African descent.
A ceremony was held today unveiling a tribute to Joshua Glover, a well-known abolitionist who lived in this city.
One, two, three. Woo! Wow.
The sculpture of Joshua Glover was unveiled in a new Etobicoke park that also bears his name. Glover arrived in Canada in 1854 after escaping slavery in the U.S. He settled in Etobicoke, and his story helped fuel the abolitionist movement. Artist Quentin Versetti titled his sculpture, Step Forward into History.
The piece title is dedicated to Joshua Glover's first step to change his story on his own terms. Although we don't know what Joshua Glover looked like, I took inspiration from details written about him and his wanted posters. So what we have here today is a collage of metaphoric symbolism from Joshua Glover's story.
The Joshua Glover sculpture is the first permanent monument to a person of African descent in Toronto. Good to see.
And now, I don't care if there is rain coming up in the forecast. It is the long weekend, so Nalini, tell us the good news and the bad news.
Okay, that's exactly the type of forecast that we do have. Good news and bad news in there. There's some sunshine in the extended forecast. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, weather's brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. Now, exactly how Pauline put it, we have a decent night ahead. The bad news for today is that we are on the cool side. It's actually, you know, well below normal. This time into late July, early August, we should sit closer to a temperature 26, 27. We're really struggling. So not a whole lot of active weather. Now, Saturday will not be a complete washout. If you look at the timeline of the wet weather rolling through, you'll see we have cloud cover that starts to build in by sort of the lunch hour into the afternoon. And then we are looking at showers into the evening. It clears out. And then Sunday, again, showers into the afternoon. It's unsettled. It will be gray. It will be cool on Sunday as well. And then finally, high pressure will start to build as we get into late Sunday, giving us a much better weather pattern for the holiday Monday. As we take a look here at the amount of rain that we've had so far for July, it has been quite wet, and we're going to add to that in the next 2 days. Cottage country, I've been saying this for a few days, indoor activities for Saturday as well as Sunday, and finally you return to nicer daytime highs and conditions for Monday. Tonight's overnight low, actually this is the current temperature sitting at 19 right now for the Toronto area, no humidity there, and the overnight low sits at 11. That is unusual. It is cool and windy as well. Now as we take a look at our fronts map, we have that wet weather that will be triggered into the latter part of the day tomorrow, extending into Sunday. And then finally, towards the end of the weekend, high pressure will start to build. Here's a look at your 7-day forecast. 22 is expected for tomorrow. Again, below normal. A cool day for Sunday. And showers again, finally, by Monday. The holiday Monday, we return to much more normal daytime highs. 25, sunshine takes us into Tuesday as well. Might see some unsettled weather, but not until the end of next week. Of course, in time for the weekend. So the way your weekend breaks down right now, the rest of your Friday, it's windy, it's cool out there. The overnight low just above 10 degrees, so a cool start to your Saturday. Showers in the later part of the day. Unsettled conditions for your Sunday, and then nice sunshine expected for your holiday Monday. That's a check on your forecast. We'll be back just after this break.
Like so many other events during the pandemic, the Toronto Caribbean Carnival had to make alternate arrangements this summer.
While the Grand Parade won't be happening, there are still plans to celebrate. The Toronto Caribbean Carnival has been holding events throughout July, all leading up to Carnival Weekend, which is now underway. It runs from today through Sunday at Scarborough Town Centre. Organizers are promising music, food, and mass. That's short for masquerade. The colorful outfits worn each year at the celebration. You can find a full schedule for Carnival Weekend at torontocarnival.ca.
Mervish Productions is reopening the CAA Theatre with a series of performances from comedian Eddie Izzard. Izzard is in Toronto filming a TV series, but she'll be taking a break to do four socially distanced shows with limited capacity on August 7th and 8th. She will perform Charles Dickens' Great Expectations and a review of highlights from her over 30 years in comedy. All of Izzard's profits will go to Inspire, a charity focusing on First Nations education. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Anyone seeing a Broadway show in the coming months will have to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. That policy was announced today by the Broadway League on behalf of all of its members in New York City. Audience members will have to show proof of vaccination when they arrive at the theater and wear a mask. Children under 12 or those with medical or religious reasons will need a negative COVID test. The policy will stay in place until at least the end of October.
The first trailer is out for House of Gucci, which tells the true and violent story of the famous fashion dynasty.
I don't consider myself to be a particularly ethical person, but I am fair.
Lady Gaga stars as Patrizia Reggiani, who was convicted of killing Maurizio Gucci, her ex-husband, and head of the fashion house. He's played by Adam Driver in a star-studded cast, also featuring Al Pacino, Jeremy Irons, and Jared Leto. House of Gucci hits theaters in November.
We're also getting our first look at how Queen Elizabeth will be portrayed in the next season of The Crown. Netflix released this photo of Imelda Staunton as she takes over the role of the monarch in the later decades of her life. She's replacing Olivia Colman, who played the Queen in seasons 3 and 4. The Crown changes its cast every 2 seasons to keep up with the large jumps in time periods as the story progresses. Production for season 5 is underway in the UK.
Billie Eilish released her second studio album today alongside a music video for the title track.
When I'm away from you, I'm happier than ever.
In Happier Than Ever, Eilish sings about an ex-boyfriend and their troubled relationship. Her debut record in 2019 won several Grammy Awards, and the new album is already getting positive reviews.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
I'm Sean Leithong down at the Rogers Center. Fans are filing in for the Blue Jays' return home after 670 days. I'll have a lot more coming up after the break.
CTV Tonight, TGIF. Let's get the weekend started with an awesome lineup of shows. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
Walmart parking lot. We had just exited the vehicle when we heard a loud explosion, and we looked over our shoulder and a big Russian cloud and a big ball of fire.
Updating our top stories, flames shot into the sky when an explosion rocked a propane depot in Barrie today. No one was hurt, but the area was evacuated.
Next, we're heading back to CTV's Sean Leithong at Rogers Centre, where the first pitch will fly in less than half an hour in the Blue Jays' first home game in front of fans in nearly 2 years, Sean.
That's right, Nathan. You can see the fans filing in. They have been doing that since just after 6 o'clock. We've heard the faint chants of Let's Go Blue Jays, but all day we've seen Blue Jays jerseys throughout this area. People are incredibly excited. We've talked to fans who've come from all over Canada. I talked to one from who'd been from out east. One guy from Edmonton had come here. They want to see the team play, and they want to see them play in person because we know it's been 670 days since the team has played a home game at the Rogers Centre. They've played home games in Dunedin, Florida. They've played home games in Buffalo. Canelo throughout last year and this year. And this team has actually gone through a bit of a transition. The team that left here back in September of 2019 was one that lost over 90 games in that season. Now, they're a few games above 500, sitting fourth in the AL East, but they're an exciting team. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of the best hitters in baseball at just the age of 22, comes home, and he's the All-Star Game MVP. Fans eager to see them, but because of COVID-19 protocols, it's going to be much different inside. We can see the security here. We know every fan going in is going to be asked a questionnaire about COVID-19 and possible symptoms. Also, everyone's being given a mask when they go inside tonight, but they're being asked to keep their masks on the concourse, when they're in their seats, anytime that they're not actively eating or drinking. They're also going to be contact traced through their tickets as well. So it's going to be a much different experience. As we know, the fans are just capped at 15,000 seats, but the Rogers Center holds much more than that. Fans will be given the option. If they want to sit close together, they can. And of course, they can be physically distanced as well. They have that seating as well. So it's a big night tonight, having everybody come back. A first test for the Blue Jays back home, but they're hoping it will be a boost. For now, I'll have to send it back to you inside.
Thanks a lot, Sean. And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. The vision for Ontario Place has been revealed, but not everybody's happy.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Rashmi Nair and Jackie Crandles. Jackie, you're going to have reaction to this big story.
Yeah, Ontario Place has been sitting mostly idle for almost a decade, Nathan and Pauline. And today some big plans were revealed, an indoor water park, an outdoor adventure park type obstacle course, some public beaches that people will be able to access for free. But as you mentioned, not everyone is happy. Ontario Place for All is a group that is saying really the amenities are not going to be affordable for everyone. And they're really concerned about the consultation process. So we'll chat with them about that.
And you're also going to be looking at the Ontario Human Rights Commission's report into addressing systemic racism in policing. And Rashmi, it wasn't a very complimentary report.
No, it wasn't, Pauline. They consulted Black people in this city about their experiences with police going back 3 decades. So we're going to discuss what comes out of this if the province doesn't act on the 10 steps in that commission's report. That's coming up on CP24 tonight.
All right, thanks very much, Jackie and Rashmi. CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down slightly to close at 80.17 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 33 cents to 73.95 a barrel. And the TSX Composite Index lost nearly 24 points to close at 20,287.
The City of Toronto is launching a new road safety push ahead of the long weekend. The Be Safe campaign will run until the end of September as part of the city's Vision Zero plan. It urges drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians to follow the rules of the road. Some of the messages have a specific warning about cafe TO areas, reminding road users to slow down and stay alert near the on-street patios.
Early estimates show Canada's economy may have grown in the second quarter despite some setbacks. Stats Canada says growth between April and June is on pace to come in at around 2.5%. GDP appears to have jumped by 0.7% in June after drops in the previous 2 months. The increase is being linked to vaccine-led reopenings across the country. Total economic activity last month stood at about 1% below pre-pandemic levels.
The parent company of Tim Hortons ended the market day up by more than 5% after beating earnings forecasts. Sales at Tim Hortons locations were up nearly 28% over the last quarter as the provinces lifted restrictions and more Canadians returned to their workplaces and daily routines. Profits were up 37% across all of the company's brands, including Burger King and Popeyes.
After revealing it missed sales estimates last quarter, Amazon is now facing a record fine from the European Union. The online shopping giant has been ordered to pay an amount totaling over $1.1 billion for its handling of personal data. Regulators in Luxembourg imposed the fine this month, saying Amazon violated EU privacy rules. Amazon has said it disagrees with the decision and it plans to appeal.
Tonight, we take the pulse of Canada's pandemic fight.
We could expect to see a sharp resurgence.
From new warnings about a fourth wave to a banner day for Canadian baseball. That story and more later on CTV National News.
Coming up on CP24 Tonight, revamping Ontario Place, what the Ford government is planning, and why critics are speaking out. And COVID beyond step three, what experts are saying about the road ahead, and how will it affect small businesses. Members of the Retail Council of Canada join live. A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Time for Toronto Together and the return of an integral part of a major GTA hospital system.
Trillium Health Partners are welcoming back their volunteers for the first time since the pandemic began.
We're delighted to be able to say that they're coming back on site to bring back their wealth of knowledge, their experience, and that welcoming face as people enter the doors of Trillium.
It will be a gradual process, with the first group returning to Mississauga Hospital and Credit Valley Hospital. Officials say the volunteers help create efficiencies and support compassionate care for patients. The volunteers insist they also benefit.
Coming to work and being able to help them is having a sense of purpose and a feeling when I leave here that, you know, I made a difference today in some people's lives.
100 are returning in phase one of a three-phase approach to staff the lowest-risk volunteer roles first. Trillium is currently not in need of any more help as it works to get the regular volunteers back first.
And over to Nalini now for a final word on the forecast.
Well, a lot of words for this forecast into the weekend because we have just about everything. We have some wind, we have rain, and we also have some sunshine. So right now we're on the clear side. Unfortunately, as we make our way into tomorrow, we are looking at showers. The evening will be cool. The overnight low for tonight will sit at 11 degrees. The winds will continue breezy. Your sunset at 8:44. So if you are out, even just for dinner, a walk, you do need a light sweater. As we make our way into this long weekend, unfortunately, as we get into Saturday, we have 22 in the forecast. Showers late into the day, unsettled on Sunday, 20 in the forecast. Right now, the holiday Monday, the nicest day of the weekend, a mix of sun and cloud, dry. And then early next week, we are back into sunshine, 25 to 26 and humid as well. That's your forecast.
All right. Thanks, Nalini. And be sure to join Raheem Ladani later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 Tonight with Rashmi Nair and Jackie Crandles begins momentarily on CP24.
For Nalini and all of us here at CTV News, thanks for watching and have a lovely evening.
Good night.